This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, so before we get to Buster only, I just want to explain what's happening here. So there's this huge storm that's coming right over the golf course. And so we had these ESPN banners behind us, and they were taking it down. And I said, why are you taking those down? Well, there's a good chance you could get impaled. The wind lifts it right through your chest. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
All right.
So sit back and enjoy the rest of the show. Don, good move not being here.
Well, that's not the reason I'm not there.
Peter has left. Peter doesn't even want to be here.
God works in mysterious ways.
Yes. So we don't need Peter anyway because we're going to talk baseball now with our good buddy, Buster only. Buster, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, Don, if Michael gets taken out with the storm, you can always call me. I'd be happy to fill in.
Wow.
Oh, I appreciate that. That'd be nice.
That's great. Thanks, Buster. Yeah, appreciate the help. You were at the stadium yesterday. So I know your ears are always perked up. Do you think there's a change imminent? Are the Yankees in a position where they might make some change somewhere just to shake things up?
My instinct is no. And based on what I was hearing, because, you know, let's face it, you know, they have not changed the manager in season since 1990. You know, Brian Cashman, that's not been the culture since he took over as general manager. But, you know, Hal Steinbrenner was at the stadium the other day. He heard the boos. If any change is going to be made during the year, it's got to come from Hal. And I haven't seen anything where, you know, Hal is someone who's going to push for, a midseason change, for a shakeup. That doesn't seem to be his MO. But we also have not seen an offense this bad basically in our lifetime. And to see the struggles that we have where, you know, you had the lowest runs per game since 1972, the lowest batting average since 1968. They're leading the major leagues, hitting into double plays. They lead the major leagues and outs on the bases. It's really bad. And if Hal Steinbrenner was going to step out and shake things up, maybe this would be the circumstance that he would do it.
But is a shakeup in order? When you look at this team and you've watched them and you know them, do you look at a team that needs a fire in their belly, or is it just fundamentally flawed and it doesn't really matter who the manager would be?
I do think they need more balance to their lineup. There's no question. And look, whatever deals they make in season, if they're able to make deals in season, it's got to be to improve the athleticism and to improve the left-handed balance. You know, Alex Rodriguez talked about it on the broadcast last night. I've thought about it, thought this for years. I know the Yankees had a lot of success against right-handed pitching last year, but I've had enough conversations with managers, pitching coaches, pitchers on other teams where privately they will tell you that they find the Yankees lineup to be very pitchable and a lot of guys who are really similar. I think they have to change that. And, you know, and this is just a name that's out there because the Diamondbacks are, you know, they're essentially finished as contenders for this year. Ketel Marte would be the type of player that we're talking about. You know, the .376 batting average this year, he's a switch hitter. He's got a really affordable contract, which is more relevant than a lot of years with the Yankees because they don't want to go over the $210 million competitive balance tax threshold. And they have to make moves to make more balance in that lineup. I think they thought Aaron Hicks was going to provide that. That obviously is not happening. They bet a lot on right-handed hitters. That's not happening. They have to get more balance.
So did the game catch up with this organization where they know how to pitch the power hitters? Did the deadening of the ball catch up? Did the fact that, you know, the sticky stuff catch up with them? Because why are they not hitting the three-run home run? This is a team that was built to hit three-run home runs.
Yeah, and look, I think with each individual player that maybe you have different answers. I can't tell you why it is that Gary Sanchez went from being a guy who, you know, early in his career, the perception was he was going to hit .280 along with the power and be a really good hitter no matter what his defensive deficiencies were. And that hasn't happened, right? And you don't know why. DJ LeMahieu was so good the last couple years, and right now he's got to be a major concern because he has looked really bad. Giancarlo Stanton, he tends to be a streaky hitter, up and down. There are other guys who maybe Gleyber Torres is affected by the ball, because you don't think of Gleyber as being a guy with huge power, just someone who a couple of years ago hit a lot of home runs. And Michael, you touched on something that I think is drawing a lot of fascination around baseball. When baseball orders the umpires to start to police pitchers with the use of foreign substances, how is that going to change the sport? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. And I've wondered, you know, if you're the Yankees and you have all these big sluggers who aren't having as much success, if all of a sudden the breaking balls don't have as much spin, they're not as nasty, if all of a sudden the fastballs aren't riding as much, you know, are the Yankees going to be one of those teams where it's like, presto, all of a sudden the offense gets better because the pitching goes down? I don't know the answer, but I'm going to be really curious to watch the before and after once they start to enforce this rule.
And it's going to be in 2 weeks, Buster. And how do you think it will change things? How much do you think the offense will go up?
Look, I think there's a chance that it's going to have a major impact because of where the numbers are now, that they're so far down offensively, and we're seeing spin rates at record levels. And in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some of the spin rates. The conversation has gone on about the forthcoming checks, and word has been going out within organizations. Guys, you've got to clean it up. You got to stop using the Spider Tech. You got to stop using the Pelican Grip. We're all of a sudden seeing spin rates go down and pitchers not be quite as effective. One thing that's really interesting about this to me is the fact that the change that's coming is actually coming from within the sport, that the position players, much like the clean players, were basically pushing back against steroid use in 2000, 2001, 2002. It's the players, position players now, who've been sending in video to Central Baseball saying, look at this cheater. Can you believe what this guy's doing? And it's to the degree, from what I understand, Major League Baseball has essentially compiled some scouting reports on various pitchers that they're going to provide to the umpires and say, hey, Michael Kay, who pitches for the Seattle Pilots, when he wants to get some Pelican grip, he just squeezes that long string of hanging off his glove. That's how he does it. That's the type of information the umpires are going to be armed with as they go into these games and begin to do these random and repeated checks.
All right, so let's say they do these checks, and it's supposed to start in about 2 weeks. To the best of your knowledge, Buster, are we going to see big-time Cy Young-level pitchers brought down?
From what I understand, the expectation is that every starting pitcher will be checked at least twice. And as I said, it's going to be random. They're cognizant of the potential impact on pace of play. And so the thought is that the checks are going to happen as pitchers leave the mound at the end of a half inning, or when their outing is over. So you're going to see a starting pitcher maybe come off the mound in the second inning, and the home plate umpire is going to intercept, or the crew chief's going to intercept and say, show me your hands, show me your glove, show me your cap, that sort of thing. And I am going to be curious to see if the gentleman's agreement that's gone on between managers for the last 20 or so years about this issue will start to evaporate once you see pitchers get checked and maybe see pitchers get suspended. They're talking about the penalty, and this is not finalized, but the conversation in the owners' meetings last week was 10 games without pay. That would be a significant penalty, when you cast it against the context of what are the penalties in the sport.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead, Peter.
Buster, I was going to say, I asked this earlier to the guys, and I'll ask it to you. Why is this such a thing in baseball? Like, why are we here having this conversation about something that seems like so retro as an issue in 2021?
I think because, Peter, that the pitchers weaponized the foreign substances. They learned how to use it more effectively. You know, for years, as they say, the gentleman's agreement went on where everyone knew that, you know, a pitcher might have a little pine tar, a little sunscreen on the forearm of their gloved hand. But the perception among everybody was, well, that's just to get a little tacky feel on the baseballs because the surface is so smooth. You had very, very rare instances in which pitchers were actually checked. You know, the most famous being the Michael Pineda at Fenway Park. And John Farrell, Red Sox manager, told me the next day I didn't want to check the guy, but it was so obvious, that glob of pine tar on his neck, that I had to do it. But in recent years, you know, the type of stuff they're using, whether it's, you know, the homemade super glue type stuff or the Spider Tech adhesive, you know, the Pelican grip, they pitchers have learned to increase spin rate, nastier breaking balls, better fastballs, and there is a perception among position players this has given them a significant advantage. And I'll go back to what I said before. I think absolutely a parallel to the steroid era where 1990, you know, guys who were clean were like, well, I don't know who's doing it, but you know what, I'll be okay. And by 2000, 2001, it was the realization that it was a zero-sum competition. And if the other guys had an advantage over you, then that was essentially taking money out of your pocket and then you needed to change the circumstance.
Now, are the guys that are complaining, Buster, do they feel like the pitchers that they play with are clean, or is it just to the level where they don't care?
No, I don't think anybody thinks that, that you know, that there is a quote-unquote clean team or a clean pitching staff, that this is across the board, that, you know, every team has had pitchers who are using, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, the super glue type stuff. Which is why I think you've had very rare instances, Josh Donaldson being one, where the position players are complaining out loud. But behind the scenes, they're complaining a lot and sending in video to, you know, the powers that be at Major League Baseball saying, look at this video and see where pitcher X is hiding this foreign substance. Look at the nature of this. That was a lot of the conversation at the owners' meetings last week.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why would Donaldson take a shot at Cole like that? I mean, why wouldn't you just wait to see if somebody's caught?
I believe it's the same reason why Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not in the Hall of Fame. Like, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens have gotten the most scrutiny, when you and I both know, Michael, that this was a sport-wide problem involving hundreds and hundreds and thousands of players, major league and minor leaguers. But Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get the most scrutiny on this issue because they've got the best numbers in the back of their baseball card. And I think because Gerrit Cole got the biggest contract, that's part of the reason why he's drawn the most scrutiny from, you know, Josh Donaldson and before that, Trevor Bauer.
And I'm sorry, go ahead,
down.
Michael.
No, you go.
Just like anybody with back knee during the steroid era, every great player now is going to fall under scrutiny. And I had brought it up earlier. What a shame, because you've got Jacob DeGrom having this historically great season, 0.62 earned run average. And God forbid, Buster, if he goes out there 2 weeks from now and has a tough first inning, guess what? Everybody's just going to assume that he was also one of those guys. Is it possible that both could be true, that pitchers are cheating, but there can be a pitcher that just is having an extraordinary career and an extraordinary season?
Absolutely. And look, you know, there probably is a wide range of cheating. This is what Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager, was ranting about after Gio Gallegos' cap was confiscated by Joe West, where he was saying, really, you're going to go after the guy with a spot on his cap when we all know that their pitchers basically giving the, you know, the middle finger to Major League Baseball with the type of substances that they're using? I think that there's no doubt that, you know, it's exactly, I'll go back to the steroid era comparison. When the numbers began to drop, there were a lot of raised eyebrows. Oh, we know why that guy hit fewer home runs, because they started the drug testing. That's just the way that it is. And in the vacuum of inaction for Major League Baseball in dealing with this for so many years, that's where we are right now. And I am going to be curious about the, you know, the back and forth between players, you know, the fighting between players on this issue, because half the union is made up of pitchers and half is made up of position players.
One quick thing before we let you go. We're talking with our good friend Buster Olney here on the Michael Kay Show. The missed Odor call. Do umpires suffer anything when they make a call like that? Is there any kind of ramification when you mess something up that bad?
From what I understand, they get an electronic review of the game they had, and all their pitches are graded. But generally speaking, no, it's not like that umpire last night is suddenly sat down. And look, all we have to do is look at how Major League Baseball handled the instant replay mistakes earlier this year. Nothing happened. There were mistakes made after they looked at the replay. It appears like they got the calls wrong. There was no statement from Rob Manfred. There was no statement from Mike Hill, who oversees baseball operations. There was absolutely no accountability. They just moved on and pretended as if it didn't happen. So I don't know how we would expect that anything would be different with that terrible call last night in that big spot.
Amazing. Buster, thanks. Great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Buster Only, 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. It's raining here right now. Ridgefield, Connecticut, but we're okay. I think we'll be able to stay on the air. So,
fortunately, we have about 40 people working to keep this.
Yeah, we have a big
this little
tarp.
Ship we're in alive. Yeah. So far, so good.
Let's hope that.
Is there a Hummer there you can jump into and finish the show?
No, there's not. But we could find something like that. There's some golf carts, not quite Hummers.
But there is a whole covered area right there. We could just jump right in there in the middle of the party, all the hobnob, and we could just jump right in there.
Yeah, but then we couldn't do the radio show. We would leave it to Don.
Oh, you think it would be too loud for us to be over there.
Yeah.
God, okay.
No, I don't think they can – equipment.
Oh, not at this point. No,
not at this point, because then everybody would get wet. Anyway, we're out right here on Yes at 98.7. Wait, let me read this. This special edition of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Meiomi Wines, presenting sponsor of today's Victory Over Cancer Classic, benefiting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. We'll be back in a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.